Good morning. It's good to see each one here. And I too want to express gratitude for all the generous gifts last Sunday. That was a real blessing. You guys are, a blessing to us, and we really, really appreciated that. So thank you. We're going to look at the book of Jonah this morning. So you can kind of turn to that, but we're here for council meeting this morning. And it's kind of a time where we prepare to remember Christ's death on the cross, his suffering, his shed blood. We remember his forgiveness for our sin. We remember his grace and mercy, his goodness. And I think communion is a time of deep gratitude for what God has done for us. And we also combine it with a time of looking inward and considering if we are living worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus made. So we ask the question, do you have peace with God? And there's a lot in that question. I think sometimes maybe we should ask, does God have peace with me, with the way I'm living? But we also consider, do we have peace with each other? And so I want to read the story of Jonah this morning, because, number one, it does such a good job of showing the goodness of God. And number two, it shows us the repentance of man, or how we should live in repentance before God. And number three, it shows us what forgiveness or having compassion looks like. So my message title this morning is Jonah, Repentance and Forgiveness. So if you're there in Jonah, you stay there. But I want to reference Matthew 18 a little bit. So I think of Matthew 18 as kind of a, where Jesus is talking about reconciling and working through conflict. But right after Jesus talked about that, he talked about forgiveness. So he said that if somebody sins, we're supposed to go to them alone and talk to them. And if they don't repent, we're supposed to take a couple brothers with us. If they still don't hear, then we bring it before the church. And if they still don't listen, we're supposed to treat them as an unbeliever. But then Peter then asked, well, how much should we forgive? And Jesus went on to share a powerful parable about forgiveness. And he said, it was about the man who owed his master a lot. And he went, and it was a debt that he couldn't pay. And he went, and he fell down before him, and he said, have mercy on me. And the man did, and he forgave him his debt. But then that man wasn't willing to go and forgive the man who owed him a little. And Jesus said there, but also in other places, that if we're not willing to forgive, we will not be forgiven. So I believe that God's forgiveness to us is based on three things. It's first conditional on his goodness. I think true forgiveness comes from the Spirit of God, and it's only possible through the goodness of God. And second, I think forgiveness is conditional on our repentance. We should repent and turn away from the things that we've done wrong. And if we continue in sin, well, I don't think the scripture would bear out that that's genuine repentance. And then last, I think our forgiveness before God is conditional on whether we forgive others when they repent to us, even those that have done horrible things. And I see all these things in the story of Jonah. So I'm going to just kind of start out reading through it, and I'll stop and make comment. I want to get through it fairly quickly. But the first thing I want to say is that some people don't think that the story of Jonah is real, and I do believe that it's real. I think that it really happened. Let God be true and every man a liar, I guess. But Jonah is referenced in 1 Kings 14, and he would have actually followed Elisha, and I'm not sure how much time was between there, but Elisha died, and then I think Jonah came on the scene. And it was a troubling time for Israel. They had a wicked king, and it says that God looked down on them and saw that they were just in big trouble, and they were basically about to be consumed. And so God spared them because of his promise, but he spared them through the hand of this wicked king, and God spoke through Jonah at that time, and through Jonah, or God's prophecy through Jonah, they were able to recover some cities from Syria. I believe it was from Syria. But they did it through war, and I think that's important to think about as we read the story of Jonah. and to help us understand Jonah's struggle. So Jonah chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah didn't want to do this. The people of Nineveh, I believe it would have been the Assyrians, and they were his enemy, and he hated them. It seems that he wanted them to be destroyed. He didn't want them to repent. In fact, he told God later in the story, didn't I say that you were going to be merciful to them? And that's why he didn't want to go. So he didn't want them to experience forgiveness. And it's interesting that Jonah was so unforgiving and so unmerciful that he was willing to give up everything for that. And if you think about Jonah, why are you willing to leave your family, leave your people, leave your nation, even forsaking your God? For what? It was for his idols. He wanted vengeance and punishment on them. But God wanted to give the people of Nineveh a chance to repent. God was ready to destroy them. That sending Jonah was the last chance that Nineveh was going to get. And God was ready, poised and ready to destroy them. But first, he wanted to offer them repentance. And that is the goodness of God, that he gives us that chance. And that same goodness caught up to Jonah. So now Jonah was the offender, and God is after Jonah. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said one to his fellow, Come. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? So they began to ask him all kinds of questions, and they were, I think one translation says, they began to interrogate him. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought, and was tempestuous against them. I want you to notice that even the sailors had more compassion than Jonah did. So if you think about it, at this time, like, the sea was destroying their boat, and they had to cast all their wares into the sea. So Jonah just cost them a fortune. And who knows if they made it out of this alive, if they would they be in debt to repay this? Like, how would they get their ship re-equipped? And, like, Jonah had cost them a lot, and a lot of stress, too. But they weren't willing to cast Jonah in the sea. They were like, well, we're going to row. We're going to try to at least save his life, something that Jonah was not willing to do. And it was only after there was no more options left that they turned to Jonah. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. And I think what an incredible experience. What a determined God. And I think as Jonah was being thrown overboard, he was still hanging on to his idolatry, his hard, unforgiving heart. And he was willing to cling to that to the death. He was willing to die than to do what God was calling him to do. And we see that attitude come out later. But the goodness of God was not finished with him. And I think that is so neat. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So God wasn't willing to let him die. The affliction was great, the suffering was terrible, but he still had his life. And now he was the prisoner of God in the belly of the fish. And there was nothing he could do, just had to sit there and think. And I firmly believe that it took all of the 3 days for Jonah to turn from his idolatrous heart, because God is quick and ready to forgive. And it seems like when Jonah repented that God had the whale spit him out right away. It wasn't as though he repented and then God made him wait another 3 days, or at least I don't believe. Could be. But I believe it was a 3 days of wrestling with God and finally coming to humility and repentance. So chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And I think that's such a beautiful prayer. And it depicts the incredible experience he was having. Seaweed wrapped around his head. In the belly of the fish at the bottom of the mountains, or in the depths, the very bottom of the sea. Completely surrounded by water. And he said, yet I'll again look towards your temple. Jonah began to turn back to God. He was cast into the sea, swallowed by the fish, but yet he acknowledged that God had spared his life. He said his soul fainted within him, and I see him coming to the end of himself and turning back to God. But I think the most powerful verse here that he said, that speaks to me maybe, is verse 8. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I want to read that in the ISV. It says, those who cling to vain idols leave behind the gracious love that could have been theirs. And isn't that what we do sometimes? Isn't that what Jonah did? He left behind the gracious love, the mercy, the forgiveness of God that could have been his if he would have obeyed. And oh, the cost of clinging to our own evil desires and refusing to offer mercy and forgiveness to others. And he said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And again, look at the goodness of God. Isn't that amazing? And again, I believe that as soon as Jonah repented, God commanded the fish and it spit him out. And it probably spit him out back on the shores of Israel, I'm guessing. Back in his own land, back with his own people. And God is just good like that. He's good and ready to forgive. And I imagine him getting to his feet on the sand of the shore and thinking, nobody is going to believe this. And I think this is actually, you know, people catch fish and sometimes throw them back. I think this is the only time in history that a fish caught a man and then threw him back. But what an incredible story of God's goodness. Chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And again, God's goodness. God is giving him a second chance. But I believe it was also a test of God to see, Jonah, were you serious? Was your repentance genuine? Verse 3, so Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and he said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So Nineveh was massive. It'd be interesting to see it. I don't know. It says a 3 days' journey. I don't know. Does that mean 3 days from one end to the other or 3 days around or what it meant by that, I guess. But Jonah was told to go and speak the words that God gave him. And the words that God gave him were that Nineveh had 40 days to repent or they'll be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So God saw that their repentance was genuine. So even the greatest of them repented. Even the king put off his kingly robes and put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. The king made a proclamation that the people should stop their evil works and turn away from the violence. And I want you to consider the unbelievable. If you think Jonah being in the fish was an unbelievable experience, this was unbelievable too, that this massive city would collectively repent in less than 40 days. Like, that's unbelievable. And the king, you know, making this proclamation that the people should stop their evil, turn away from their violence. They fasted. They sat in sackcloth and ashes. And God saw that, and he had mercy, and he forgave them. Again, just wondering at the goodness of God. Chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And I see two things here. I guess the first thing is that the desires in our hearts sometimes die really hard. And we sometimes need to repent again and again. Our hearts are hard and we cling to things to the death. And we need to repent. And the second thing is I see God willing to work with that. And he again, we'll see that he again worked a miracle, arranged things to teach Jonah a lesson, the same lesson that he taught earlier. And I don't think that God just gives us one chance. He's gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. He's quick to forgive. Those are the words of Jonah. Verse 4, Then said the Lord, Dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So I see Jonah again out there sitting in the booth, wrestling with God. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." So again, God was teaching Jonah. He gave him a plant that grew up over his booth, and it gave him shade. And Jonah was really glad and thankful for the shade. But when it withered and died, he was very angry. And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto the death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" So Jonah didn't answer God's question in verse 4, and God said, "Do you do well to be angry?" And so God brought about something to help him understand, and then he asked him again. But again, Jonah was just wrestling with this goodness of God. How can God just forgive these wicked people? And the answer is, I think, because they're his people. The people around us are his creation. God knew us before we were born. He knows how many hair is on our head. But he also is the same with every person in the world. He's been working in their lives just as much as mine. And God says, "Well, what about all the innocent people that would be affected? Even the animals? What about all the children?" And it's not God willing to overlook sin because of all the innocent, because of all the children. No, God was poised and ready to destroy them. Like I brought out earlier, Jonah was kind of the last effort of God to bring the people of Nineveh to repentance. But when they did repent, would it be good to punish them anyways? What if they would have repented, but then God had rained down fire and destroyed them? What if Jonah had prayed in the belly of the fish and repented, and then God had the fish digest him? So God was trying to help Jonah see that his goodness is righteous, and we should be like him. And I guess, just to summarize it a little bit, it kind of ends abruptly, but it gives us a lot to consider, a lot to think about. And I think maybe number one, the question we need to ask ourselves is, has the things in my life that I need to repent of, has that been a genuine repentance? What if Jonah had refused to go to Nineveh after God told him to go the second time? What if the people of Nineveh had said they were sorry, but they continued in their sin? And what if the king had not condemned the sin and violence in the city? What if they had not fasted and sat in sackcloth and ashes? So the question is, have we allowed God's word to change us? When God convicts us and we need to repent of something, do we just do the same thing, or do we change? And then the second thing I think for us to consider is, has our response to repentance been gracious and forgiving? So if somebody comes and repents to me, am I responding with graciousness and forgiveness? Or do we delight in those people getting what they deserve? And again, this verse really sticks out to me in chapter 2, verse 8. Those who cling to vain idols leave behind the gracious love that could have been theirs. So we're not just not forgiving someone. When we don't forgive someone, we are leaving behind God's forgiveness that could have been ours. And it sounds a lot like Matthew 18 at the end there, where God says that he will deliver us to the tormentors if we don't forgive like he forgives us. And the last thing, I think, the third thing, the lesson that I see of Jonah is the goodness of God, that he will pursue us to the ends of the earth, to the depths of the sea. He wants our good, and he chastens us when we do wrong, and he gives us another chance, like a father to a son. And I was thinking about it in our Sunday school lesson this morning, that God is our true friend. And boy, does God ever chasten us and come after us and push for change and convict our hearts when we're wrong. But Jonah said, and it's true, that he is also gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and quick to forgive. Why don't we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, I'm so grateful this morning for your goodness, for your long-suffering towards us, for your graciousness and kindness, and that you're quick to forgive. And thank you, Lord, for being a good God. And we stand before you, Lord, as people that struggle with things. We're a lot like Jonah, and we sometimes don't repent like we should. We sometimes don't forgive like we should, and we sometimes struggle with your goodness. And I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us. Forgive our sin and cleanse us, Lord. Thank you for this story, the encouragement that we can get from it, that you do forgive us. I'm so, so thankful for that. Help us, Lord, to pursue good. Help us, Lord, to pursue good in others, not vengeance, not punishment, but to pursue good. Help us to push others into repentance and into your kingdom as well. Just thank you, Lord, for each one that's here, and bless each one. In your name, amen.